Another issue that you alluded to with this patient that comes up is defining what ruxolitinib failure is. Can you talk about how you look at that?
So when one has only one approved therapy, as I've shared with folks, failure is somewhat in the eye of the beholder. You know, if I'm out in a general hem-onc practice and I don't have clinical trials available to me, I largely am going to try to make the most use I can out of the ruxolitinib because I don't have an obvious backup. What we see is that there's really a range of things that account for a suboptimal ruxolitinib response. Is that regrowing of the spleen? Is that development of cytopenias? Is that intolerance? Is that movement toward acute leukemia? There is not one clear definition. There are several trials ongoing now for second-line therapies in MF, but there is not one clear definition as to what failing the drug means. Part of that has been from a practical standpoint, in that since we feel a lot of patients maintain some benefit, we have not, as a community, been eager to define ruxolitinib failure for some fear that it'll be used as a reason to discontinue patients from ruxolitinib if they're having some response. I think it'll be more clear once we have multiple therapies to be able to define that. What we do know, however, if patients stop ruxolitinib, overall their survival is poor if there's no good option available to them. Our colleagues at MD Anderson had done a nice retrospective analysis and shown that the survival is poor after discontinuation of ruxolitinib, and that survival is worse if that discontinuation is also associated with clear evidence of clonal progression.